is that LK Mobile? Good evening, Tom. N4ZLK.
I hollered earlier. I was talking to Patrick. He said you was working. Bernice asked if you worked 12-hour days.
Listen, it takes me 45 minutes to get home and get into work, so I'm usually on the road for a little bit longer than 12 hours.
Shane, I bet you can't wait till you get to retirement.
How old is you? I don't know if I want that.
A long way from this. About 15 years. If you retire at 62. Oh, I've been having a little fun with CW tonight. There must be a bunch of guys down on Cure calling in. It's real easy to work. So I just been working different ones on different bands, and then I worked that Marshall Island ones. It's a D Expedition Victor 73 Whiskey. I've worked the Marshalls many years, but I don't know if I ever did on 10 meters, and I got them on 10 CW tonight.
But I may have to check it out if I feel like it by the time I get home. We're keeping our granddaughter right now, and she doesn't sleep by herself, so she and Beth are sleeping in our bedroom, and I'm sleeping in the radio room, which seems like it'd be nice, but I don't have much chance to do the radio. By the time I get back there and get to bed, I'm tired.
Blame you for that. Well, they went up to FT8, unfortunately, and 10 meters disappears about this time of night anyways. We should probably work a lot of them Curico stations on different bands. I don't know how many I got. I was just having fun.
Went to a net on 146.67, and I think it's a Myrtle Beach repeater. They were down there talking about different areas, and it wasn't coming in real, real clear, but I could copy it pretty much everybody. And one guy, I thought I was monitoring the Gainesville repeater because I could pick it up from different locations around here. And all of a sudden this was coming on, so I thought it was a net on their frequency, but I figured out it was somewhere down along the coast.
I don't know if I gave him a call, so I think I did N0TR. Is that on HF that you was listening to?
146.670.
Oh, that's right. It didn't ding when you said it. I should have known that. shoot. Well, these guys are... Oh, guys. I think that's one on 30 meters right now. That doesn't say where they're at. This is VP9. I can't remember where VP9's at. There's Aruba's on, but that's about as common as a pair of tennis shoes.
If I have Aruba, I probably do. Not very many, but some things are common to some people, but not necessarily to us. Some others of us.
You gotta be old. P40. Anything that's P40 is in it. The different suffixes, like this guy on 14027, is P40 Lima.
I was sitting there with my father-in-law, and we would pull out the big book because there was no computers, and if we were listening to sideband, we'd pull out the book and look up their call and figure out where they were.
DX. Radio Amateurs World Atlas here. I give ND7J1, and I only had two. And guys, I don't know how old that thing is, and I still get it out and look at it, Shane. And it has pictures of each part of the world on different pages, and then it gives all the call sign. It's kind of neat.
About a hard copy. something you can, you know, leaf through the pages or even a map where you can roll out and look at it and get a wide area coverage. And, I mean, a computer is very convenient, don't get me wrong, but I do still like paper.
I'm sitting right in front of me here, paper log. I was trying to think who got me to do that. Paul. He's an old ham that's been here for many years. And really a great guy. He's a card checker. And in the Greer Club, I can't remember his call right this minute. It's been a while since I've seen him. And he got me, they asked him how he logged. And he says, well, with a computer, but also with paper. And from that point on, I did the same thing. And it's just nice to have that hard copy.
I don't log on paper anymore. When I was keeping a paper log, it was just in a notebook, and I wasn't really neat about it. And then when I reset my station back up a couple years ago, I downloaded a logging program, and that's what I've been using, but kind of got spoiled on that part of it.
Notice there's Charles Green. He's from Melbourne, Florida. I thought he was from around here. He's a Papa Juliet 2/84ES. And he's one of the ones that's in Curaco. But I was just thinking that he must be from around here. He's a four call. And I forgot, the four area goes a little ways to the south. There's even one on here tonight at 28100. It says PSK31. I haven't heard of that in a long time.
That's like a Model T era, isn't it?
Not that old, I don't think, but you'd have to ask somebody that knows. I never did use it. But, we didn't get to see Patrick tonight. We went over to the Little Rebel and had a country fried steak. God, they're good. Over there, Bernice has bought them at the store. I mean, Ingles got good meat, but even there, the dead bird things are tough. But boy, you go to Little Rebel and there, you can cut them with your fork. They're always good. It must be restaurant grade or something. So we left Patrick's goodie box out there on the table, and Bernice had some kind of pineapple cake with, what was that, Cool Whip on top of it, Bernice? Yeah, Cool Whip and that. And then sent him and Leash a piece and a couple dozen eggs and, I don't know, how many cookies you send him? She don't know. She just gave him a bag full of cookies. Yeah, real care package tonight.
I noticed he got home a little earlier than he normally does on Thursday nights, I think. And I didn't hear him call you to say he would be stopping by, but I may have to change my route to a Greer area. That sounds tempting.
There's lots of that cake. We can't eat it all, and we took cake over to my neighbor. He's got chickens, so he don't need any eggs. And, we saved about 3 dozen for our daughter and the kids down there south. But it was Tim's birthday, and he says, how in the world do you remember my birthday every year, Bernice? Or he asked me, and I said, it wasn't me, it was Bernice. And his wife got the flu, so we didn't go in. But we took him over that, and a few cookies. I said, you ain't getting your... Usually she makes him a coconut cream pie because his mama can't do it anymore, so Bernice makes him one every year. But he's on a diet, so we didn't give him one this year.
Rosetta LK, and hello, Miss Bernice. And you know, being on a diet, that's his own fault for that one.
He eats that big piece of that cake she sent over, and then she sent some over for his wife and their daughter. And, He's been pretty religious about it. he went, I'd been on him about seeing the heart doctor, and I said, yeah, I'm giving you a calcium test. I said, it's $95. Well, a few weeks later, he come back, and he said, no, it's $117. And I said, how'd you do? And he says, I flunked. And it was really, really bad. And so he went to see the heart doctor. And the heart doctor said, well, he says, you will have a heart attack in the next 3 months. And if not, you will in the next year. But he says, I promise you, you will have one in the next 3 months. And he got to talking to him, the doctor, further examined him with some nuclear tests, and they found out it was mostly calcium instead of cholesterol in his arteries. And so with diet and that, he can bring it under control. Boy, that was a wake-up call.
Imagine, had he been having any kind of symptoms that... Or was it just he went and took the test because you mentioned it to him?
First symptom of them all, Shane, his brother died, and he was pretty young to die. How old was Tim's brother? He was in his 50s, Shane. And the irony of it is he was out here one day, and they were doing some work on Tim's whistles out by the street there, you know, the pipes. And I told him, I said, you're getting too old for that. He was just sweating like the dickens, and he was a real stocky built guy, a little heavy set, but not bad. And 2 weeks later, he dropped dead.
I need to hear that, and I'm sure that was a wake-up call, too. Wow. Yeah, that's young. And since I'm going to be 55 here soon, I would say that's real young.
57 today. And it really woke him up. He's been, immediately stopped smoking, and I've been on him about that for I don't know how long. And the doctor basically told him his lungs would be looking like a bag of charcoal. But I was kind of surprised. Tim said, he said it was okay if he vaped. And, nah, it ain't okay if you vape. That little heat element down there has chromium in it and all kinds of bad stuff, and it's got to heat up to iridescence to make that stuff boil off. I've seen cars going down the street, and they look like a Stanley steamer with their window open.
Same thing. It's like 3 or 4 times as much steam, I guess it is, vapor coming out of there than if they were smoking a cigarette. And I'm sure... A few years down the road, they're going to realize how bad it is for you.
Yeah, but the heat element's one of the worst things. But the other thing is those oils and that go down in your lungs. And I've had 4 lung surgeries, Shane, and I got to tell you, you don't want to have a lung surgery. It hurts, and it hurts really bad. And I dang near died the first time, and... I just don't want to go through that again. I never did smoke. My dad did, though. And, you know, the kids were in the car back then in your old 54. And the windows rolled up. And of course, they always cracked their window. So one heart doctor told me secondhand smoke was worse than the smoke going in your lungs. And I said, oh, no, that's BS. I read it on a chart there, and I said, I can't believe that. He says, well, Tom, he says, theirs goes through a filter before it goes in their lungs, and the smoke coming off the end of it doesn't. And that was the logic of it. But I tried the different packs of cigarettes because we owned a grocery store, and I'd try one of them, and then I'd give the rest to my buddy Tobe. And now Tobe has COPD.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Restaurants had... smoking and non-smoking, and I remember our building at work, people were smoking inside. The management would be smoking in their offices, and it doesn't seem that long ago. I guess it really is, though. I tell you, I was almost 55. But yeah, I mean, even when my kids were little, they would go to Cracker Barrel, and they'd have a smoking section would be separated from the non-smoking section by some picket fencing, almost, you know, lattice work type thing.
He knows. You know, they have a no-smoking area, and Jesus is still enough to gag a maggot on a gut wagon. You could smell it real bad. You know, I just never could understand it. When I was in the Navy, as soon as you got off the ground, even though you was in an airplane full of fuel, smoking lamps lit, you know, well, even the commercial ones. But the dangest thing I can remember, I was in the front office one day, where I was the head electrician, and I was talking to the superintendent, and John had a cigarette in his mouth there. I said, "John, why don't you throw them things in the ditch?" I said, "They're going to kill you." "Oh, no, Tom, my dad smoked them for yada yada years, you know, the same old story." And I've had other ones tell me that, "No, it's not the cigarettes, it's what they put in them." And I said, "You're married, aren't you, John?" "Well," he said, "yeah, you know that, Tom." He was also a gunsmith, so you know I knew him. And he worked at John Sports Center also. And I said, "Well, if you're married," I said, "what was that you said? Oh, I know, it was until death do you part, not until death do you kill yourself." Boy, he turned red in the face. I said, "You ain't got no right to kill yourself." I said, "You got 3 or 4 kids, you got a wife." And I said, "What right you got to put that poison in your body?" "All right, Tom, I get the point," he said. But I got a few of them to quit.
Retired as a nurse. I was just talking to her 19 years ago, so she's 84 now. And she said, and I can remember, you know, growing up, her talking about smoking, and, you know, not her, but people smoking in the hospital, doctors going out for smoke breaks and nurses, and she would say, she said, "What do you tell a 95-year-old man who broke his leg, and that's why he's in the hospital? How do you tell him to quit smoking because it's going to kill him one day? He's been smoking since he was 12.
And some people do get away with it, but the greater majority don't. I'll tell you one. When I fell so badly when I was working at the hospital as a technician, and the boss asked me to go out and if I minded helping spread ice melt. No, I don't mind. He said, "Well, to be honest with you, Tom," he said, "the nurses are crawling to their cars so they can smoke cigarettes." He figured that one out.
I got a brother that has tried and tried and tried for years to give it up, and he just can't. But anyway, Tom, I'm at the driveway. I just stopped at the mailbox and pulled out probably not much of anything good, and I'm going to head down the driveway. Nice to talk to you. You and Bernice, have a good evening, and hope to do it again. N4ZLK.
Okay, Shane. You know, my dad smoked 4 packs of Cool Regulars a day. If somebody handed him a cigarette, he'd tear the filter off of it if he ran out. shoot. Oh, well. C'est la vie. Everybody's got a choice. Take care, Shane. I'm glad you got home safe. N4ZLK and 0TR73.